podcasting. Now, in case y'all didn't know, they've been podcasting since before podcasting was even called podcasting. Archives of this show are available on every major podcast provider, and you can find video archives, merch, and more on their website, godfathersofpodcasting.com. Now, here are your hosts, two guys who have been broadcasting online since 1996. The godfathers of podcasting themselves, Johnny Da Silva and Chris Tidwell.
Yes, 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 it is Thursday, August 29th. I'm Donnie, just like the lady said. So happy to be here with you for another week. As one half of the Godfathers of Podcasting, the other half is that man next to me on the screen right now. He is the Bugs Bunny to my Elmer Fudd. He is the Roadrunner to my Wile E. Coyote. He is the Pinky to my brain. That's Notorious T.I.D., Chris Tidwell. What's up, Tid?
Was it really the Roadrunner, or was it more of like the people that ran Acme that had it out for Wile E. Coyote? You have to ask yourself that, right?
I really wish that movie, I'm trying to remember who was all involved with it. There's a whole bunch of people. I think John Cena was a part of it. There's a whole bunch of people that are part of it where it was supposed to be like Wile E. Coyote suing Acme. That has to come out. That thing got shelved during the pandy. It's got to come back.
What, dude, he got fucked up. He got so fucked up that he had to go and like share a job watching sheep. Remember that?
Yeah.
Right? Horrible. Horrible.
Crappy job. Horrible. How are you doing, Tidwell?
I'm good, man. I am sipping on some gin and juice.
Oh. Right now. Oh.
Legit. Legit.
Oh, you got the Snoop Dogg stuff. Is this a paid sponsor?
They have their own stuff, you know, Dre and Snoop, with the parental advisory thing right on the label and stuff like that. Listen,
did you get an endorsement deal on the side that I'm not privy to?
Don't even start. You're not even wearing the right hat. Okay.
I got him here.
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
him here. Got him here. Exactly. But because the gin and juice may not be a paid sponsor, but Black Fork USA is.
I'll expect my check soon. Listen, the thing that I will say about the gin and juice thing, when you think about the people that have put it out, Snoop and Dre, and you think about the whole West Coast gangster rap, that whole vibe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how gangster you can be with flavors like passion fruit. Apricot,
acai guava,
apricot, and melon. Like citrus is the most gangsta thing that are about these drinks. There is no doubt about it.
You ever get citrus in the eye? That's gangsta.
Oh, okay. I feel like that's something that happened in like CB4 or something. Solid movie. Shout out CB4.
I've been wanting to check out the Snoop Dogg gin and juice. So I will head to my local liquor store and pick some up now that I know that you've got some. Cause
oh, it ain't
jelly jelly.
Oh, it ain't there. Somebody brought it back for me across the border.
Oh, well then I need a smuggler. Smugglers apply within info@godfathersofpodcasting.com.
There you go.
As we alluded to, it's not showing up on my green screen here. Let me choose a different color hat. Wow. Let's get the camo one. There we go. Black Bork USA.com for these awesome hats. They have all kinds of colors, although my yellow one doesn't show up so nicely in front of the green screen. It kind of disappears. What about the hot pink? Barbie pink? Yeah, Barbie pink shows up nice. So the beautiful thing about Black Bork USA, if you don't know already, is they have removable patches. You can get your patches from Black Bork USA, or you can get your very own customized patches with any kind of logo or saying or phraseology, whatever you want. Just go to Black Bork USA. Tell them the Godfathers of Podcasting sent you. They've got a whole bunch of new stuff right now. So go check it out. Before we get to our guest, I do want to make an announcement. If you have not been on my social media, and really I just mean Instagram, if you haven't been on my Instagram over the last week, you might have missed the news. Starting this week, for all you wrestling fans out there, I've got a brand new project called Huge Pop, and it is myself and longtime WWE referee Jimmy Corderas. The two of us are going to be hosting this project. It's going to broadcast on TSN Radio and iHeartRadio, and you can get it anywhere you download podcasts. does not change what I'm doing here with the Godfathers of Podcasting. I will continue to do this show. This is my love, and I love sitting in with Tidwell. But I am excited to be doing this project with Jimmy, who I've known for, oh my God, what, 24 years now? It's going to be a lot of fun. On the first episode this week, we've got an exclusive interview with former world champion, the world's strongest man, two-time Olympian, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry. And it's a beauty. It's an absolute beauty, Tid.
Yeah, listen, I'm very, very happy that you finally found your way back to terrestrial radio. I mean, that's what you were made for. That's what you went to school for. That has always been your thing. And the fact that you've got back there, fantastic. I love it. I love it to death. So congratulations. Good for you.
Jimmy, I just want to spoon you.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. You've always been Little Spoon anyways. So just the
biggest Little Spoon ever.
Just like roll it over and back that shit up, Sonny.
You big softy.
Oh no, it's very good. It's very good. We've you know, with what you're doing over there on radio, with what I'm doing on the law.
Yes.
You can't do on radio.
That's right.
There is absolutely zero chance. So it's good. Both of us who started this entire thing with wrestling and this podcasting stuff, still doing it, venturing off, conquering all of it all over again. It's fun. I'm excited. So let's go.
It is a lot of fun. So the PG version will be Jimmy and I. The X-rated version will be Tidwell and Brady. Yeah. You can check out Live Audio Wrestling, and then you can come check out what we're doing over at Huge Pop. You can follow us on all socials, Huge Pop Radio. Okay, enough of the plugs. Let's get to the fun. Because right now, ladies and gentlemen, it is time for the big hello. And this week's guest, she's a writer and a filmmaker, but she's best known because she went to Von Road Academy with Drake. Go Vipers.
Nah, I'm kidding. Thank you for calling that out. Thank you.
She's best known for her work as an actor, and more specifically, her work as a voice actor. She booked her first job when she was just 7 years old, playing the role of the animated Canadian kid and maybe the biggest brat in Canadian television history, Caillou. You've also heard her in Anne of Green Gables, where she played Anne Shirley, in Hotel Transylvania as Mavis, Harriet in the Franklin series, and so many more. Seriously, she's got more than 100 credits to her name, and she's still going. In 2010, she co-founded the Young Emerging Actors Assembly, which was a really cool way for young Canadian actors to hook up. She's got several new projects on the go, and we're looking forward to diving into those. She's also looking forward to meeting someone who has master ninja level advice when it comes to navigating the dating world in a big city. Ladies and gentlemen, she's always smiling and looking real jolly. I swear she's happier than a border collie. She'll voice any character like a cute little dolly, or get real dark and do a creepy crawly. Now give it up for this little tamale. This is the very talented Bryn McCauley.
Thank you. Now I feel like I have to do all of the characters from your intro.
You can.
A little dolly.
Okay, don't ever do that again.
No, you didn't like that one, Chris? That wasn't for you?
That was a little creepy, I gotta say, man, right out the gate. That's one you should ease into. You know, do you whip these out? Like, okay, we're talking dating. Let's go. Let's get into it. Do you
wow, you're just going right into
out?
Dating?
Yeah, do you whip these voices out during a date? This has always been my thing, right? Like, what do you like?
Yeah, they're like, what's your party trick? So you can't leave that question unanswered.
That's not a party trick. That's a multiple personality thing is what that is. Right?
What could be better?
What do you mean? Everyone stops in the party and everyone's like, is there a horse here? Like, how did the horse get in here?
Amazing.
Oh my God. I love that so much. Is it kind of crazy for you? Cause you're still very, very young. When you look at your acting credits, Is it kind of weird to you to think, holy cow, like I've made a dent here?
Confused. I think people get confused when they're like, and I say I was the voice of Caillou, and they're like, but I watched Caillou and we're the same age.
Right.
Yeah, I just was really lucky. I got to start as a kid and learn so much from other people as a kid.
And not really a super common thing, right? Because when it comes to finding voice actors to play kids, a lot of times they're going to find adults that do a kid's voice so that the actor doesn't age out of the role.
Yes, that's what used to happen. When I was a kid, I was always the only kid, and it was like you get so much attention and it's amazing. And now children are taking all my jobs. Like now I make the same salary as a 7-year-old. So it's very humbling. Now they want kids to play kids, because as Chris, you see how he was repelled
Right.
when I did that shot, that baby voice, he was like, horrible, never again. The network executives agree with you. They don't want us to do it anymore. So now
I
it's no
also
kids.
listen, I also do not want to hear the sound of any children in my house to begin with. I mean, let's be
Okay.
perfectly honest here.
He Let's get
hates
the
kids.
address just so kids can avoid.
Yeah. Yeah. They
Yeah,
know
fair enough.
when it's Halloween, they're like, there's old man Tidwell's house.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I leave. I put it. I put a bowl out, and I live on the kind of a street. I think there's like 10 kids on the whole street, so we go give them stuff anyways. And then I go over to my brother-in-law's place, and I harass the kids that come by his place by giving out candy to them.
And dressing up
Okay.
like a serial killer and threatening to like chop them up into little pieces. That sounds on brand for you.
Yeah, so I just wear my normal clothes and I show up over there looking like this, and they're like, ah.
See how I set him
Mommy, he
up for
was
that prank?
scary. Yes. You set him up, he knocks him down. I got it. I got
That's our dynamic.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know. When I hear this though, and I understand that that is a changing reality within your world, right? That they're finding kids to play kids. It is a, it, I mean, on paper, yeah, that makes sense. But then you look at it and go, imagine they had done that with like The Simpsons,
Yeah.
right?
No, it would have been really boring. Kids don't really have comic timing, is the problem. Like, kids are like, oh my God, oh my God, that was so funny, do it again. And they're like, they can't.
Right.
So yeah, I think they have this like innocence that no adult can replicate, really. But no, my God, imagine Rugrats without those amazing adult performers. It would be a completely different show. It wouldn't be funny. They
I
would just be
think
cute.
it's, yeah, I think it's one of those things where they get the authenticity of
Yeah.
the kid doing a kid voice, but you lose the acting part of voice acting.
Yes, you do. You do. A lot of kids are like, they have great instincts. But that's the thing for a lot of kid actors. Like, you start and you're just working off your instincts, and it's really because you're just imagining things. And then you get older, and then you have to have craft and you have to have skill. But yeah, a lot of kids are just like able to transport themselves into these imaginary worlds very easily.
So, are you planning to donate to Tid's organization, IHateChildren.com?
Yeah, I'm his number one donor. You didn't know? It's so, get them out of here. Like, I swear, 2 weeks ago they were like, hey, you're on hold for this thing. And then they're like, oh, sorry, an 8-year-old got it. You're like, great, I don't need to pay rent. That's fine. I don't care.
I'm sure there's more of us. Like, we could set up a picket line. You know what I mean? We could like be out there with signs. Get these kids
Yeah.
out of here. Screw these children.
Yeah,
What
we'll
if
just
you do
surround their schools and keep them inside so they can't audition.
What if you take the opposite approach? Instead of making it look like you're a bunch of dicks that hate kids, what if we just say, no child labor? This is unfair. Stop exploiting the children.
Thank God the brain of the operation is here. You said you were Pinky and he was the brain, but now I think it's the other way around.
It's true. It's really true.
When you are looking at voice acting opportunities, do you find that the kinds of roles that you're auditioning for, that you're getting tagged for, are those younger female voices because you hit those high registers?
Yes. I was like, I am auditioning for moms now, but I never book them. There's something very non-maternal about me, I guess. But yeah, no,
It
it's
might
a
be the
lot of
hating children thing. It just comes
oh
through.
my God, you're right.
Yeah, it just
You're
bleeds
right.
through. Hello, Jimmy. Come here, you precious little fuck.
It is sad. It's like, oh, honey, do you need a hug? Too bad.
Your stepmom roles is what I'm hearing.
Maybe
that's what it is.
Thank you. The evil stepmother is calling. She's calling loud and clear.
Dude, get off Pornhub. That's the only stepmother movies you're watching.
It's Ex-Hamster.
To
clarify. Wow. You're a different kind of degenerate.
We're going deviant. Let's go deviant.
Yeah. Go all in, right? Like, just right. Leave nothing on the table. I don't know, man. Like, it's funny when you think about that, because I've talked about this at length with Eric Bauza, and I've talked about this at length with our pal Andrew Cascino, who's a super successful voice actor. And I've said, you know, it's always been like my secret fantasy, right? To get into voice acting, even though I really have no discernible talent whatsoever. But it's always been my secret fantasy. But then I think to myself, my God, you're competing against, like, acting is hard enough when you're trying to book an audition. That's hard enough. Now you're competing against, I don't know, I feel like the world of voice acting is so much more competitive. Am I nuts?
It's so competitive. I think because so many people think they can do it.
Right.
And you know what? Maybe you can. Like, maybe you're amazing. You know?
No.
I would never tell anyone, don't try.
I just feel like with acting, like, if you're trying to book a part in a TV show or a film, I think the uggos are going to weed themselves out. Like, they know. They know. Right? But the uggos think that they can just get behind a mic and start doing wacky voices and book that shit.
They do. They think they don't need to be actors. They don't need to wear clothes. They don't need to,
What?
I'm out.
You know that whole thing. People are like, oh, do you go to work in your pajamas? And I'm like, no, do you? Like, what? No, I don't go to work in my pajamas. I know Donnie's not wearing pants right now, but, like, the rest of us tend to wear. Is he gonna prove it? a lot of people, it's very competitive. No, when I audition, usually it's against like 300 people.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's insane. So, okay, you've also done like regular acting where you're in things as yourself, right? When you're not an animated version of yourself, mm-hmm. when you're battling against goddamn 7-year-olds, do you think to yourself, maybe I need to focus on just being me?
No, because on camera is worse. On camera is like, you know, I don't know, I'm pretty for a nerd, but like for an actress, it's a whole different thing. On camera is even more competitive, I think. On camera is, and it's also like so technical. Like, I'm very good with technique in the booth, but technique on a set is a totally different thing.
Tid, she thinks she's not good looking. This is funny.
Act on camera is, yeah, it's a different beast. It's a different beast.
OnlyFans would say otherwise.
You can't say these things. I work for Mattel. Like, you can't say these things.
You didn't say you had one.
Yeah. I'm just saying they think otherwise. They think that it's very easy to be on camera.
Oh, listen. I see. We're back to this. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, no, they do. But there's, you know, there's someone for everyone, right? Like, everybody has their thing that they like. And on OnlyFans, you can find it.
Don't knock OnlyFans, Mattel. I made a cool $17 selling pictures of my feet this week.
Hey!
No, I didn't.
We know somebody that has an OnlyFans account, and all they put up is pictures of fans.
Of fans.
That's incredible.
She makes her holding fans.
Yeah, yeah. And she makes bank. So
she does.
What a genius!
Right. Shout out to Elena Davies. You're the best.
So good. She's just like, you just need one really good joke, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And then ride that. Just ride that thing
right into the sunset. That's that's what we've been doing our whole career.
You invented podcasting. What do you mean? I feel like everyone should be giving you guys royalties.
You would think, but meanwhile, we poor. I can't say we invented it, but we were there when nobody was listening. I mean, really. People had dial-up modems and, you know, I remember when Tid and I first started doing this way back in the day, and I had left a job at a regular radio station, mm-hmm. and I said, oh, I just started a new radio show. Oh, great. What station is on? Well, it's on, like, a website, so you have to go to, like, virtuallycanadian.com. They're like, so I gotta go on my computer? What?
That's stupid. No one's gonna do that.
Well, because you didn't carry around a computer.
Yeah. No, nobody had that. I mean,
everybody had to go home, sit in front of a thing, make it an ordeal, like it was the 40s all over again, and everybody gather around the radio. We're gonna watch this program.
Oh my god, like, it was insane.
And get off the phone because you can't be on the phone at the same time. Yeah.
No. Exactly. No, back in those days, a phone was just for making calls and it had no other purpose and crank calling your enemies. That's it.
That's a fun game.
Actually, you know what? When's the last time, Tid, you did some good prank calls? Because I feel like having Bryn on your side to do prank calls would be super fun.
Have you done that? Have you ever done that with the like call up? Because you have to be friends, obviously, with other people in the industry, right? And you also, there's got to be people in the industry that you got to be like, man, I really just do not like that person. Have you ever crank called anybody? Is this like a thing that goes around? Because I feel like if it isn't, it should be.
It should be. Let's start a series.
Right? Yeah, let's start a YouTube series. Show.
Yes. Yes. You come up with like, you know, we'll collaborate. We can find a target and go one at a time.
I feel like there's a huge TikTok meme in here. Like you can tag the next person, you know, you do a voice crank call on somebody, they do the next one, carry it on. It comes back around the world. It's viral.
What are you doing tomorrow? Let's go.
Hold on. Quick sidebar. Is it prank call or crank call? I've never known.
That's funny. I think kids always say crank call.
It was Yank Crankers.
That's true. Yank Crankers was a real show where that's what they did with little puppets. I don't know, but I'm thinking this bit has legs. Like I think Bryn prank calling C-level celebrities would be hysterical. I'm loving this.
Just other Canadian celebrities.
Whoever.
Just, like call Cardinal Official and just like
yeah. Yeah, and we're going to call Russell Peters and be like, call Russell Peters and do like the Caillou voice and go, want to see my feet?
He'd be like, yes.
I'm like, absolutely. What are you talking about?
Did you ever catch in real life when you were doing Caillou, like as a kid? Because Caillou is very like polarizing. Like you either like you were down with the whole Caillou thing or you were like, I despise that little, you know?
Everybody, when I go to fan expos, it's very split. So people will come up and they'll be like, I just did one in Newfoundland. They're like, I hate that show. He throws a fit at the end of every episode. And just like, I don't let my kids watch that. And they're like so angry about what a terrible role model he is for other children and how much he whines. And people can't stand him. There was a list circulating for a while of the 10 most hated TV characters of all time. And everyone sent it to me because Caillou was number 7.
You know what? I think I like your Newfie accent just as much as all your voices.
It's so bad. It's not good at all. Fan expos are really funny because half the people are like, it's the worst show I've ever seen. And half the people are like, that was my childhood. So I'm a guy that goes
out to fan expos every now and then. I've got my 12-year-old boy who is like so into that culture. But we're not the people that stand in line and go meet people and get autographs. And like I've been willing to, you know, we went when he was a lot younger to go meet Stan Lee. I was gonna stand in line. Yeah. Give Stan Lee's animated corpse $150 to stand next to him because he didn't move. He was literally a wax figure at this point of his life.
Propped up.
But my frugal son was like, it's too expensive, Dad. I don't want to go. And I'm like, oh. Okay, now he regrets it. Now that he's 12, he wishes that he had this photo with Stan Lee. But the one thing he loves doing when we go to fan expos, comic cons, all that, is people watching, because this is my child.
He's so, a journalist.
Tell me, how hard is it for you to keep a straight face at these things? Be honest.
I learned so much at the last one. I didn't know what a furry was. And there was a furry convention.
Wow.
Yeah. So I learned a lot. But it's also the questions. Like, people ask really nuanced, layered questions. And you're just like, oh my God, if I don't nail this, I'm going to get canceled.
Can you think of one that was so goofy that it just tripped you out?
Well, there was a girl who was like, hi, Bryn. What do you think of neurodivergent people? What do you think of people in the LGBTQ plus community? And what do you think of furries? And I was like, oh, this is a minefield. You know, this is not one that you're like, I'm probably going to get this question. Let me be ready.
Oh my God. So they're not even asking you, like, so what's Caillou up to these days? No, they're just going in with political topics to try and get you canceled.
Yeah. I was like, wow. How do
well, I yeah, what, are the purpose time? What other purpose would there be to ask somebody a completely non-related question like that?
Let's just ruin her life.
Yeah. So what do you think of those things?
Oh, I did this already. Oh my God, you're breaking up.
What? You're going into a tunnel. I can't see you anymore. Huh?
Bryn won't say it, but I will. Furries? I don't want to kink shame, but shame.
These ones were really nice.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing with the furries thing, right? They've kind of been a thing for generations and generations. We used to just call them mascots at schools, right? Same size costumes, everything like that, you know? So
furries?
I think so, because you had those animal mascots for the colleges and whatnot.
Tid, were you ever sexually attracted to a mascot?
Yeah, I feel like he's trying to tell us something.
I mean, come on, Tid.
Yeah. Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, the eagle?
Go Eagles, baby.
Also, you would ride that eagle.
Birds.
Yeah. Eagly? From Peacemaker? All day long. Lord. You wouldn't. Come on, who wouldn't want to hang out with Eagly?
That's a great show. We were talking about that off air before we started. That's a great show. I can't lie. But I will be honest with you. Furries creep me the fuck out. I'm not going to lie to you.
Are you talking about the people? Because there's degrees of furries.
Okay. I'm talking about the 10th level of hell furries. The ones that walk around dressed up like Teddy Ruxpin, but they got their junk hanging out.
Okay, yeah. That's like a Swedish furry. That's like a Norwegian. We're getting...
Oh, is that what it is? I didn't know its background.
Like, they have parties, yeah, and they just have their dicks out and, like, furry ears for some reason, you know? Like, yeah.
And the safe word is a 37-letter German word?
Yeah, it's nobody all knows. The IKEA furniture. You're like, I can't remember it. Oh, no.
Oh, my God, this is so funny. I'm trying to wrap my head around why you're struggling in the dating scene, because you're fucking hilarious.
Oh, that's nice.
Do guys just not appreciate a funny girl?
I think guys sometimes don't like goofy.
Mm.
You know, I think I've seen this a lot on dating apps, actually. Funny, but not goofy. I'm like, what? Why are you policing my funny? This is a bit weird. But the last guy I dated, I made him do improv because I was like, I'm a bit bored. You know, I'm a little bit bored. And I need to know that you can be a silly goose. So we sat down to dinner and I was like, I'm sure you're wondering why I called you here today. And I was just like, I was like, is he going to bite? Like, is he going to go for it? And he dove in. He was like, nice. Yep. Did you find my hard drive? And I was like, ooh, now we're playing. Now this is fun.
Is this a first date?
This is a third date.
Was it wanted to get laid?
Or did you like just role play at the dinner table?
No, he never made it into my home.
Oh, so the improv sucked.
Wow.
Way to botch it, bro.
Wow, he couldn't even past the simple yes and then what?
Right. Like, yes and? Yes and? I know how to play the game. Try that shit on me.
All right, Donnie, you ready?
You know what? Before we started the show tonight, Tid and I were talking about a new movie that just dropped on Prime, I think this past week, with Awkwafina and John Cena. And there's a line in that. The movie sucks, by the way. Tid likes it. I hate it. But there's a line in that movie that I will forever use. I'm really good at improv. I just need time to prepare.
That's really good. That's really good.
I will forever steal that shit and claim it as my own because no one else is watching that shit movie.
No, you're like, oh my God, Donnie's so funny.
Oh my God, where does he come up with that?
Where does he get this stuff?
He writes.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah.
No, he's being true to his word. He's preparing for his improv. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Listen,
we talked about this on our last episode, Tid, with DJ starting from scratch. You go to a rap battle these days. These kids are not freestyling. It's no, all pre-written. What is that?
Like this.
Yeah.
While rap somebody.
They're doing a spoken word poetry battle. Like, fuck off. That's crazy.
Better. Slam poetry. You'd go to a cool cafe shop and get some slam poetry thrown in your face. Even that was realistic. If they can't do this anymore, I mean, listen. I don't know. Did we really see the best of breakdancing at the Olympics this past year? Is this where the culture is leading us, ladies and gentlemen?
Give it up to Ray Gunn.
Yes. Thank you for delighting us. That's really lame. Isn't a rap battle supposed to be like you respond to your opponent's, you retort back to
them? Instead, these kids are Googling going, oh, no. I found out that his mom has really bad acne. I'm going to talk about that.
No.
Yeah, it's terrible.
No, it should be trivia rules. No phones, you know?
Right. And no knowing who you're going to battle until 10 seconds before. How about that?
Yeah, right? Hardcore. That's even
I say the three of us get ourselves invited to one of these rap battles and mm-hmm. make ourselves, like, insert ourselves as judges mm-hmm. and just shit on the whole process. Make these kids cry and change their careers.
We are making so many kids cry today.
Yeah, that's the game.
It's great. It's
that's going to be the title of this episode, Making Children Cry.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you do with wisdom, right?
Yeah.
You have to pass it on. You have to be like, this is not what rap battling is. Look at the three of us. Who is more suited to know what a real rap battle looks like than the three people on this screen?
Yeah, it's totally the white girl. Yeah, 100%.
It's definitely me. Yeah.
You've got a bunch of stuff, like, well, according to your IMDb page, you've got a bunch of stuff coming up, right?
Yes, I do. I do. Some of them I can talk about.
Okay.
One that I'm really excited about is called Mermicorno Starfall.
Okay.
And it's about half mermaids, half unicorns. Guess which half is which?
Well, if the unicorn is not the head half, then what's the point? It's just a fucking pony.
You nailed it. Yes.
And if the mermaid is not the ass half, then it's just a girl.
It's a girl with legs. No, it's a pony with legs. Oh, yeah. No, I got you. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I think I figured out your mermicorn.
You got it. You got it. Unicorn on top, fish on the bottom.
So is that you? Are you a mermicorn?
They're a troop of us. And we save the ocean using the power of friendship and creativity. And wow. Yeah, it's Warner Brothers and Atomic Animation. And very, very good writing and amazing cast. So I'm really excited about that one.
Is your dialogue similar to like when you were those mermaid dogs in Paw Patrol?
The merpups?
Like that, all that shit?
Yeah.
You know what? When my kid was younger, I had to watch that stupid show all the time. Oh my God. Chase is on the case.
Yeah, Chase is on the case. Ryder needs us. yeah. Biggest preschool show in the world. It's crazy.
Seriously. Created,
yeah, by some Canadian dudes.
When I was in Portugal, 2017, my son was five. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, I found out Paw Patrol was second in the world at that time, only to Star Wars in the most bootlegged merchandise.
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah. That's crazy,
you've
right?
Made it. You know you've made it when.
Yeah, well, they were getting ripped off.
There was at least a good solid year where you couldn't go anywhere. I mean, it was on every single shelf was a different Paw Patrol thing in Walmart. They, you know, the branding with the fast food. As soon as you get branding into fast food restaurants, it's a wrap, right?
Okay, so talk to me about this piece. When they're merchandising and doing all that kind of shit, if they're making Merpups, are you getting a cut of that cake?
No.
Oh, you need a new agent, sweetie.
I know. Hook me up, Donnie. You know
what
anyone?
The hell?
Do you know anybody?
She gets paid on the back end, okay? She gets
on whose back end?
She goes and does these appearances at these Comic Cons as like what are they called again? Merpups.
Yeah.
They're never like, please come be the Merpup. That hasn't happened. Please, we beg you. It's so cute when you do that. Move Lander's like, get her out of here.
Okay, but if I booked a role, if I was Chase, am I getting some of that Chase toy money?
No, the actors don't get toy money. You get royalties, but not for like 10 years.
That's a shit deal.
I shouldn't say that. The companies, they're looking out for themselves, you know? The producers, the guys at the top there, they're doing very well.
I remember speaking to someone who, I won't name his name, but he's a less prominent member of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about when they started coming out with this new line of action figures. My kids got a whack of them over across from where I'm sitting right now. They didn't just make like a new Iron Man. They made it look like Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, sure.
And RDJ is like, that's great. It looks awesome. Where's my slice?
Sure.
And totally. All those guys held out, you know? And then people like, what's his name? Chris...
Evans?
No, the Star-Lord. Guardians of the Galaxy. Born-again Christian. Chris Pratt. Pratt.
Oh, yeah,
Pratt.
That one. Yeah.
There's so many Chrises in the MCU. God damn it.
There are. Yeah.
Chris Pratt refused because they offered him such a lousy deal that he said, you can just make my action figure with the stupid helmet on and not show my damn face because I'm not playing your game. Because the deal they offered him was bullshit.
Yeah, this is why you need to band together. You need solidarity.
I see that. That's a visual thing. Now, for you, who does voices for like a cartoon character, and then the character gets made into a toy perhaps, right? But if they do something where they use your voice, you know, pull the string and hear the voice... You get cut out of that too?
Yeah. So what they normally do is they'll have union actors in the show.
Okay.
And then for the toy, they get a non-union actor.
So they have a voice actor, voice actor.
Yeah. They have you shouldn't call them a scab, but it's like someone who's not in the union to do the voice so that they can pay them nothing and not owe them anything.
Oh my God.
Happened many times. Many a Caillou doll I have not voiced.
How many of these wait, does that mean that there's an entire series of like maybe voice actors who work for less money that are maybe from like south of the border?
Yeah, there are lots in Canada too.
Like Mexicans.
Oh, that far south. There are non-union actors all over North America. But yeah, there'll always be someone willing to. I'm very pro-union because if we were all in the union, then they couldn't get anybody, you know?
If I ever did dip my giant foot into that water, that would be me. I'd be the non-union guy because I don't have any creds to my name to be unionized. So that would be me scabbing away. The only thing I've ever done in that space was back in 2003 or 2004. I had a friend that was doing a film and I got asked to come in and do ADR.
Oh, cool.
And so for anyone who doesn't know, I'm doing like voiceover dubs for shit that needs to be re-recorded and the actor wasn't available. So I'm his bitch.
So you had to voice match him.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of it was grunting and groaning, and a lot of it was like,
it was easy. He was Helen Keller.
Yes. That was my role.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, okay. Let me ask you this. When you're at a convention or you're talking to people that know what you do, who do you get requested to just pull out of your hat the most? Like, what voice is, are people saying, just do it, just do it, just do it?
People love Caillou. It's really funny. I was 7 when I did that, so I don't sound the same. Like, my Caillou is bad now. Caillou's a big one. Yeah. But I just normally go, no, I don't want to. And people are like,
And that cuts it. I would think because of the success of the films and the TV series, I would think Mavis would be right up there.
Yeah, people, Mavis too, for sure. Yes. My dad's away at the Vampire Council, so I'm in charge. Boom, Dracalaca.
See, now I wish I could do an Adam Sandler, but I can't.
I did this with Eric Bauza, and he was like,
I know.
Oh, Mavis, wavy. He just like launched right in. He's the most wildly talented person I've ever met.
I know, and Bauza gives me suicidal ideations because he's so talented. He has so much talent coming out of his ass. I have none. I have no discernible talent whatsoever. And I look at him and I go, you just sit there, listen to someone, and pull that shit out of your mouth 2 seconds later like a savant. It's and I'm really sitting here going, I could maybe do a little Louis Armstrong.
Please, Donnie. Please.
No, it's okay.
What a tease. Two words.
That's it. I do micro impressions. That's it, Brent.
Don't ever do that again.
This is our next TikTok.
You're gonna get us so canceled. You start doing some no, don't do it.
I can't do Louis.
But if it's really good, people don't get upset. This is what I've noticed.
You gotta practice that first. I don't think you just put that shit out cold.
Eric Bauza does Chris Rock, and he does it so well that you're like, this is incredible.
But I mean, that's always the thing that has always baffled me right out the gate is anybody who can do voice impersonations. It's one thing to like, okay, you can see a character and you can kind of go, oh, this character would sound like this and make up your own, you know, voice for that character. But to nail impersonations the way that some people do, to me, that is a completely different kind of art. Like that is like people like, oh, you should be able to draw, blah, blah, blah. Listen, I can make a stick figure look fat. I don't understand that side of the brain. You know what I mean? So like, when do you realize that like this is a thing? You know what I mean? That you're down with just making voices and this is what you're going to do.
I think most people have to practice a lot. Yeah. Like Bauza is an anomaly. When I first met him, I was like, so do you like really grind and really hustle? And he was like, no.
That's a weird way of asking, are you single?
Yeah. Maybe that's the dating issue. Maybe that's the dating issue. You got to get your questions better, Bryn.
Like, read between the lines, please. Are you a breadwinner? This is what I'm trying to ask you.
And the jacket goes back on.
Are you going to bring it home for dinner? This is what I need to know.
I love that.
But the thing is with him, he's been doing these impressions since he was like 8. You know, like he started doing them of his teachers and always did them. And then I think most people are so scared of them being bad that they don't try. But really, like when I'm working on impressions, it's like, okay, you just have to be willing to be so bad until it sounds remotely like the character.
If you've ever heard this show, I'm definitely willing to be bad.
I have no issue with that. But your Louis Armstrong is good.
I realized when I was very young that I do have an ear when it comes to picking up on cadences, when it comes to picking up on intonation of people's voices. So I can imitate someone in terms of their delivery, their pace, maybe even get somewhere in their range, right? Their pitch. But when it comes to nailing that shit to the wall, forget it. Like, I'm dog shit. So, and I recognize that. But I can pick up on cadences enough so that if I'm doing that micro impression for someone, they'll be like, oh, I hear it. I get who you're doing because you just match a very famous way of speaking. Is that how you started, or were you just voice matching right from the get-go?
No, definitely starting with what they call prosody, which is what is the musicality of this person's voice.
Oh.
Like, Mickey Mouse has like the most identifiable prosody, because like, who else goes, ha, ha, ho, boy, little, time to go. You know, like, nobody talks like that.
I know a guy.
When is he going to be a guest on this show?
he's actually a guest all the time on The Law. His name's KJ, and that's how he talks naturally.
God, we should introduce Bryn to KJ. See,
is this a setup?
No, like, no. Oh. Well, would she like KJ? I don't know.
He's a wild dude, and
he's a wild dude. And he's like, his normal speaking voice is super high falsetto. Like,
but he is not afraid to pull down barriers.
He is the man that Bass forgot.
Hi guys, how are you? It's me, KJ.
This person should be on the prank call show we're gonna do.
You ain't okay. Wrong.
What do you mean by pull down barriers? Like physical barriers, or like,
he's not afraid to, you know what I mean? Like, here's the thing, and with a lot of guys, anyways, I don't know how it is for women because I've never lived my life as a woman. But for guys, a lot of times you have these, you know, they put up a fence, a barrier in front of them. They're afraid of like getting on the other side of that and exposing any kind of vulnerability. Mm-hmm. He is not that dude. He is like, you know. Mm-hmm. Shirt off, life of the party, like, let's have a good time type of guy. And I love it.
Okay. Okay. No, yeah, no toxic masculinity there. He's vulnerable, emotional.
I like this guy.
Who, me?
What?
No, I'm so toxic.
Well, you're not very masculine either.
Toxic masculinity from you, Johnny, to be honest.
No.
Call me, you know, Negamus Prime. Like, I'm just gonna neg everyone to death.
We're back to negging.
Yeah, that's gonna be my superpower now.
Yeah.
Okay, so you start off by understanding the musicality of a voice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's kind of what I was doing, because to me, yeah, I just call it something else. I'm paying attention to the cadence, their delivery, their rhythm. So yeah, I guess that's all the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then how does that evolve into that voice matching process for you? Well,
okay. So finding like the vocal tics is another thing too. So like for Lois Griffin, you don't really hear this when she's talking, but the way that I find her is like this hiss. Because it's like very nasal, but it's kind of like, placement is another big thing. It's kind of like in front of my teeth. Is it September already? Wow. I guess I've got nothing to do but create an excuse to try to touch the Target cashier lady I want to run away with. Like, it's all sort of here, and it's kind of messy too. So like, that's a part of it. This is like her tick. And then it goes a little bit higher and a little bit faster. And that's the other thing. It's actually really high in your nose. Peter, you know,
would
it's
you
up
say,
here.
Would you say Lois is very, very demure?
No. Lois has had a character arc. Lois started very demure. And now she's like a little psycho sometimes, which I really like.
I love that so much.
Now she has little freakouts.
Okay, so you kind of gave us a little bit of like a tease there. So can you rapid fire some of the voices you do for us?
Yeah, sure. Okay, who else do we have? Well, I love Reese Witherspoon because she's also like really far forward, and she loves talking about books and women, you know, like, and she especially loves talking about books about women, you know? And she's really inspiring. People just love all of her quotes from Legally Blonde, like, "You're breaking up with me because my boobs are too big." So funny. Like, she's so funny and so charming. We love Reese.
I love that so much because I just started rewatching The Morning Show.
Yes.
With Reese and Jennifer Aniston, which is, by the way, if you've never seen this show, it's fucking amazing.
I haven't seen it and I need to watch it because of those women.
You need to sit down and watch this show.
Okay.
Yeah, binge that shit. Season 4 is coming out soon. So you need to just knock out the first 3 seasons. You will call me and go, "Thank you."
Thank you, Donnie.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so you got Reese. Any other Hollywood starlets in your back pocket?
I really like Selena Gomez because when I was playing Mavis, they wanted me at first to be a sound-alike. They wanted me to sound like her. "Dad, you said that when I turned 118, I could go into the world just like everyone else that gets to come and go from this hotel." So Selena's really funny because she's like, she's like an LA girl, so she actually talks like really slowly, but you can't do that when you're doing an impression because people will get bored. But yeah, we
love Selena. Is the Biebs a good kisser?
Yes, I have to be honest with you. I can't get him out of my head. He's amazing.
It's funny because all I hear when you say like Hollywood starlet and you go slow like that, I'm like, oh, she's pilled up.
She's all filled up.
Sounds a little filled up a little bit, maybe.
A couple nights at the Boom Boom Room will do that to you.
It's funny because that was kind of my in for her. I was like, oh, she's medicated.
I mean, I feel like that's a starting point for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's then, good.
Interestingly, like Judy Garland is actually kind of the same.
I wonder why.
Well, anybody who knows anything about that family story.
Yeah, you're like, I was like, what is the thing that I'm missing? And I was like, oh, this like kind of
substance
thing,
abuse.
Like the room is moving in front of her. That's the piece I don't have yet.
Oh my God. Do you Judy?
"No, Lennon, this was a real, truly life place. And I remember that some of it wasn't very nice, but most of it was beautiful."
Your Judy Garland is bordering on Ariana Grande.
This is the other thing. They have a similar placement.
Yeah, they do. I just heard that for the first time.
Yeah, she's also really high and like kind of soft palate. Yeah, she's up here. Yeah.
I feel like you would be very intimidating in role play.
Now we're getting to the heart of the dating issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're like, "Dom," I'm like, "No problem." They're like, "Yeah, right?" Nerd, I'm like, "Uh-huh, uh-huh." Yeah, no problem.
Yeah. Okay, now do her. Okay, now do her. Yeah, now be that person next.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like, "What about you? Who are you gonna be?"
I'll be Pete Davidson. And you break my heart.
Okay.
That was one of the saddest interviews I ever heard in my life. Was Pete Davidson went on the Howard Stern show about 6 weeks after he was on, glowing about his relationship with Ariana, going, "I can't believe I'm dating Ariana Grande." 6 weeks later, Howard has him back on. He goes, "She broke my heart. I'm a loser."
I'm sure the first interview he did after 9/11 was probably a little sadder.
Oh, dude.
Oof. He makes those jokes all the time. He makes those jokes about his dad.
He does.
Yeah. Yeah. No, rough. That was a very public, very rough breakup.
Yeah. Yeah. That was not pretty on any level. I mean, no. That would be the scary thing, right? About celebrity dating to begin with. You've got a microscope on you. Like if I'm what's his name? The football player in Kansas City, Kelsey. Yeah. I'm just waiting for Taylor Swift to put out a whole new album. Like, honestly, I'm gonna leave the milk out, and she's gonna be like, "Fuck you." I said, "Fuck you. You left my milk out." Like, it's coming.
I don't think it would matter. I don't know if you guys heard or not, but him and his brother just inked a deal, $100 million for their podcast.
Holy shit! It's not even good.
They've only been out for 2 years.
It's not even good. I've listened to their podcast.
But I think this is the effect of, this is the Swift effect.
Yeah.
It has to be.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Who is paying them $100 million? Apple? Spotify? Who? How?
Was it
Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. Yes.
So she can keep him under her thumb. Going.
Yeah.
You don't need to be playing football. You sit here at your computer and you talk nice about me.
Yeah, she will pay you. Yeah, exactly. She's just listening.
Holy shit. $100 million.
Amazon. $100 million podcast deal with Amazon for their new
heights. We need to be less entertaining and get paid.
This is it. Sometimes you're like, do I need to dumb it down?
Yeah,
I could.
And then more people will like me.
That's impossible. I am.
Can
like
you date one of Taylor's siblings, please, Ted? Like,
this, like I'm literally one octave higher than Sling Blade, kind of dumb right now. That's what happens for me.
I don't know. You came up with the plot. You came up with the plot on how to get the kids out of the business. So,
yeah, I've been working on that for a while,
though. Okay, that one's been marinating.
Hey, I want to rewind because I want to hear a couple more of these voices that you got in your back pocket.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, who else do we have? Who did we do? Oh, this one's always hard for me, but I do love her. Oh, my God, Fran Drescher. Okay, SAG-AFTRA president here. It is so good to be here talking about our union.
That's really impressive. Okay, wait, if you can do Fran Drescher, I know I'm putting you on the spot, but because they have a similar range, can you do Janice from Friends?
Yeah, she's a little bit higher. Oh, my. No, she's not. Oh, where is she? Maybe she's here.
You found her.
Oh, my God. Chandler Bing.
I love that I just put your ass on the spot and you hit a goddamn home run.
She found it. This is it.
You found it quick. Put you on that search and rescue team. They find everybody.
Janice. We got Fran. We got Selena. Yeah. We got Ari.
Did you do Celine?
Celine. No, I can't. Oh. I can't. I said Selena, but that's a good one to learn. Selena. Because yeah, the Quebecois accent. I should get on that. Thank you.
Shall we go for it?
Yeah. Ariana Grande does her so well.
So well.
Yeah.
Another one, right? She's kind of in that Eric Bauza realm of so much talent falling out of her ass that she just like knocks out impressions without even trying.
Yeah.
Like, her I kind of hate her too.
Like, it's so annoying. I was like, why is Jennifer Coolidge so good? Everything she does. Yeah.
I feel like almost every female voice impressionist has a Coolidge in her pocket. You don't?
It isn't good yet. See, you're making me do this. What does she go? Have you ever dated a guy with no teeth? What's happening? I tried publicly. Ariana's is like really here when she does it. Yeah, it's here. It's not good yet. I'll let you know. You'll have me back on.
That's okay. It's a really good Owen Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I meant. That's
you nailed your Owen Wilson. Put that shit in your repertoire.
Thank you. I will come back with a Jennifer Coolidge if you'll have me back just to do that and then get out.
When I was younger, I used to think I could do, and this is a really dated reference and you probably won't understand because you're like 18 years old, but I used to do a thing back in school when I was in college. We used to do these little shorts and I did Bobby from Howie Mandel's Bobby's World.
Okay. Don't know what that sounds like.
So it's a super high, it's like, hello, my name is Bobby. And sometimes I sit on the potty and I cry. That was Bobby's World.
I've heard him do that in interviews because he does that and then he does Gizmo.
Right.
He does them all back to back and he's like, they're all the same.
It's the same voice. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the same shit. It's like Fozzie Bear and Yoda. It's all the same shit.
Yes. And he did
like
great.
Listening to Mark Hamill do the Joker. You know that that's Mark Hamill.
Totally. He's not voice acting. He's just Mark Hamilling all over the place.
100%.
This is the thing, though. Some people can do that. Like, some people just have their thing that they do.
when I started doing Louis Armstrong, I was like, oh, I think I can do Claw from Inspector Gadget, where it's like, I'll get you, Gadget, next time.
Hey, you know, you're saying you have no talent. I don't agree.
None.
I don't think this is true.
It's just a filter on the mic.
He's so waiting for the reboot of these two things in his life, and he's set for them.
If they do an Inspector Gadget Bobby's World collab, they better hire my ass.
Right?
Yes.
Theme song written and sang by Louis Armstrong.
Get him in the booth. You can do this. I believe in you.
No talent. That's the problem. No talent.
You just have to take some classes. I will say this. Like, anybody who wants to do this, you just have to work really hard. It's like anything else you want.
School? I didn't like school when I was young. Screw that.
Is there schools out there for it, or is it all just like, you know, privates?
There are programs, not really schools. Like, Kim Herdin is the casting director who has like an academy in Toronto that's mostly online. But yeah, it's a lot of private coaching.
When I was a teenager, I don't know if I've ever talked about this on air. When I was a teenager, I enrolled at a place that is now no longer in existence. It was based out of Toronto. It was called the National Institute of Broadcasting. It was supposed to be for people that wanted to work in radio.
Yeah.
And you could sign up, and it was like $6,000 to sign up for the year, which back in those days might as well have been $1 million. Mm-hmm. My dad went with me when I did my audition, because I was like 15 or 16. And all I wanted to do since I was 5 was be in radio. So my dad went with me to my audition. I nailed my audition. And then I'm thinking, this is not a fucking audition, because now I got to pay. They just tell you if you can come here. It's not an audition. That's a gimmick. But regardless, I did it. So I had a whole bunch of classes. I went down there 5 days a week after school. And one of my classes was cartoon voices. So we had to do shorts, and we had to do a series of cartoon voices. It was so intimidating. It was so intimidating because, first of all, I'm the only teenager in the group. Everyone else is like in their late 40s trying to work on their fourth career. And I'm a kid. Like, I'm literally a kid. And it was so mind-blowing. And I was starting to feel like I was getting somewhere. And then I think the National Institute of Broadcasting just went under, you know, like they just went out of business. My instructor was Jungle J. Nelson, who was a 1050 chum DJ legend.
Like, of course, nobody has the name Jungle anything unless they work in radio.
Right. Yeah. Jungle J. Nelson.
You know?
Coming to you on 1050 Chum. Coming up, we've got all the oldies. Yeah, he was my mentor. The only good thing that came out of that was I got to go and sit in a private box when the Toronto Blue Jays won a World Series as a guest of the National Institute of Broadcasting. That was the one big perk. I never got a job. I never booked a gig.
And now we know why they went out of business. They spent all the money they got off of the students for that box, and then nobody booked anything.
And then see you later. We out. What a weird thing, though, right? Like, I was such a rube.
No internship. No
nothing.
Nothing like that.
No, I what I did do, though, was I took a lot of the stuff I learned. There was a lot of stuff there that I learned that was super useful. Like, that's where I learned how to mark a script, for example. Mm-hmm. And I still do that to this day. I get a script, I print it out, I take a stupid little red pen, and I mark that shit. I mark where I want to put emphasis. I mark where I want to pause. I mark where I want to, like, do something stupid. And I mark that shit up, and I still do it to this day. And then when I went to broadcasting school at Humber College, when I did the radio TV course there, I took a lot of that stuff with me. So as a first year student, I felt like I kind of had a handle on things.
Yeah. You were like, been there, done that, 6 years at NIB.
Yeah. But at the same time, like, not one gig.
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad. Like, a program like that should have practical applications. Like, that should be like the reason why you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You suck.
I booked an internship on my own. I started working at a top 40 station, getting coffee and grabbing the cart decks to put in the machine to play the new Backstreet Boys single.
Well, you also did become the originator of podcasts.
Whatever. That nobody cares about that shit, Bryn. No, but trust me, nobody cares.
The name of your podcast.
That and a dollar won't get you a cup of coffee.
It was an oversized studio in a basement.
Oh, it was a nice studio, though.
It was a fantastic studio. Yeah.
Often filled with very scantily clad women, if I remember correctly.
What kind of studio? So it was a music studio.
No, it was a recording studio to do radio. But see, Tid, we had the only show on the station that was making money. And the reason we were making money is because Tid walked his ass down the street, down on King Street to where they had this 24-hour-a-day live streaming porn site called smutland.com. Wow. And he said, you guys are broadcasting 24 hours. We're broadcasting 24 hours. Let's get your chocolate in our peanut butter and let's do some business.
King so of next the thing collab you know, right here.
I'm just saying.
He's not just a pretty face.
1996, the show pulled in $5,000 a month.
Oh my God.
Which might as well have been $1 million in 1996.
And it was the only show pulling in any money in the entire station.
It's true.
So the girls would come over and like talk about their jobs.
Yeah, they'd come over, they'd do voiceovers for us. We would link to all of their site stuff. They would come and tell stories on the show. It was the Wild West back then. You think it's like that now? It was wacky wild back then. Like, we got away with stuff that should never ever see the light of day back then.
Yeah, like we had donkeys in there. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but
that was in Tijuana. That was our vacation in Tijuana.
There was another station in the States. There was another station in the States shortly after we had started that tried to do the same thing. So when Donnie was talking earlier, you know, you would make those prank phone calls. We would do those phone calls to the other shows when they were on the air. While
I forgot
we were
about
on
that.
The air.
With the sexy just, girls?
No, we would just call them up.
Louis Armstrong.
Yeah, we would just call them up straight up and just eviscerate them with, like, you guys suck. You're horrible. Get out of here. I wish you would do horrible things to yourselves. Like, just getting into these weird wrestling podcast wars online. It was like, what are we doing?
You know what the funny part about that is, Tid? The guy that we were battling the most, I just had an hour-long chat with him on the phone yesterday. Bryn, you ever watch Survivor?
Oh, God, yeah.
You know the name Johnny Fairplay?
No, don't know him, but you do.
He's considered the greatest villain in the history of reality TV. He's the guy that lied about his grandmother dying so he wouldn't get voted off the island. But his grandmother was alive and well, and she still is to this day.
What a player.
Yeah, so that son of a bitch was the one that we were crank-calling.
A lot. Johnny's good, though. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy.
Is he?
Not really. He's a bit of a piece of shit.
None of us were good humans back then. Like,
no, but that's not what sells. That's not what sells.
No, 100%.
No. 100%. No.
Fairplay's got a new show coming out in October. I think it's called Villain House Season 2. And he's going to be one of the villains in the house, along with, like, I think Omarosa and, like, a whole bunch of other people that are, like, villains in reality TV history. I don't know. But I know Fairplay's on there because he's a piece of shit. Bryn, if people want to find you online, I don't want to take up too much of your time because we've been doing this for way too long. And we're at this point, we're just talking shit. So if people want to find you,
Johnny Fairplay.
Yeah, we're just spinning out of control. This shit is off the rails. If people want to find you, if they want to learn more about you, where do they go?
You can go to @BrynMcCauley on Instagram or BrynMcCauley.com on the internet.
The internet
is Googleable, Donnie.
That's how you become a voice actor, kids. Enunciation.
Must enunciate. And everyone, please stay tuned for Donnie's voice acting debut. And let's all continue to encourage you because you can do it, dude, if you want to.
I put all the emphasis on the incorrect syllables.
You mark up your script. You got your Louis Armstrong. And also stay tuned for our crank calling show on TikTok.
We're going to work on that. You think I'm kidding. That bit has legs.
I don't think you're kidding.
We got puppets. We got puppets that we can use so all the voices are hidden.
Oh my God, I forgot about your puppets.
Right? Like, yeah, we could do this.
Wait, do you have a puppet? Do you have a puppet nearby? Can Bryn voice a puppet before we go?
I have a puppet.
What do you want?
You do?
What do you want? You want an old man, a devil, or a cop?
No, you don't tell me. You just surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unlike Donnie, I like improv.
I just need to prepare. I'm such a dick. What are we doing? This is so stupid.
We're doing improv. We're doing puppet improv.
This improv is off the rails.
I can't wait.
Kid is back right now. He just sat back down for those of you that are listening, not watching.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. We're waiting for the big puppet reveal. But then you guys have to describe it.
Yeah. What do you got there?
El Diablo.
Okay. Are we going to describe it? We're just going to go right in.
It's a little red devil that looks like it just ate everyone on Sesame Street.
Yes, welcome. I just devoured the Cookie Monster and the Count. One, two, guess what else is in my belly? Oh, I've got Big Bird too.
There you go.
I heard Big Bird was kinky as fuck. That's all I'm saying.
How can you not be?
Yeah. That dude's got some skeletons in his closet.
Heat. That guy used to throw serious heat.
We're talking about like the actor, or are we talking about the bird?
No, Big Bird.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Perf. He's perf. Yeah.
Him and Stuffleupagus, man.
Who?
Yeah, that's something going on.
Who?
Stuffleupagus.
Strombolopolis? Because we've never called him that to his face.
Have you? How'd that go over?
That's fine.
Oh, he cares not.
Like, I've been hearing that one since I was 7.
Yeah, 100%. He's like, get more creative, fellas.
Yeah.
And Macaulay, you are an absolute gem. We are now best friends, whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. And we will definitely be in touch, and we'll have you back on the show.
With my Jennifer Coolidge, I'll be ready.
Yeah, we're going to work on that. I'm going to try and do one, too. I'll try and get a Coolidge
ready
for you.
We'll have a Coolidge off. Sounds
good. Either that or it's going to be a really bad Owen Wilson. I'm not sure.
One of the two.
Thanks, Bryn.
Thank you so much.
All right. There she goes, everybody. That's Bryn McCauley. How do you not like that girl? Tid, throw out your last plugs before we wrap this shit up because we are way over time.
Listen, you can always check it out over at The Law Live Audio Wrestling. That is The Law - Live Audio Wrestling on YouTube. Content going up all of the time as well. You know, any of the stuff over at Tid Talk. And I mean, at Notorious TID on all of the other socials. Please go check out everybody. Get ready, set your whatever it is for your radio, whatever it is. Stay up till 11 o'clock Eastern time on Sunday, right? Check out Donnie's new show on TSN with Jimmy Corderas. Special guest, Mark Henry. Unbelievable stuff coming up. Guys, I couldn't be more proud of you. Thank you so much. That's all I got.
And just a point of clarification, we're debuting on TSN on September 8th, but on September 1st, we will be live all over the internets. And you can find us, you can download us, you can hear a really great clip. If you go to Huge Pop Radio on Instagram right now or Twitter, you can see a quick 30-second teaser of Mark Henry crying, talking about how Jimmy Corderas actually once saved his life. This is unbelievable stuff. That's Notorious TID, Chris Tidwell. I'm Donnie DeSilva. We are the Godfathers of Podcasting. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. We'll see you next time.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.